Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, we are just a day away from American voters taking to the polls to decide if it's 4 years of Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. And it comes as Kamala Harris was in East Lansing at the Michigan State University campus for her last rally in that swing state. In an upbeat performance to a captive audience, the Democratic nominee called on her supporters to get the vote out, and she made a last-ditch attempt to sway the Arab American voters who may have abandoned her over the conflict in the Middle East.
Hello, Michigan! All right. East Lansing, are we ready to do this? Are we ready to win? And I want to say, this year has been difficult, given the scale of death and destruction in Gaza, and given the civilian casualties and displacement in Lebanon. It is devastating. And as president, I will do everything in my power to end the war in Gaza, to bring home the hostages, suffering in Gaza, ensure Israel is secure, and ensure the Palestinian people can realize their right to dignity, freedom, security, and self-determination. And we continue to work on a diplomatic resolution across the Israel-Lebanon border to protect civilians and provide lasting stability.
Let's get more on this now. We're joined by Una Kelly, RT Radio 1 reporter who's in Michigan. Now, Una, I know you'll be at a Donald Trump event too. You'll bring us news of that tomorrow. But the polls are in a real dead heat, both candidates intensely focusing on the seven states that could go either way.
Yes, good morning, Claire. Well, here in Michigan, that's one of those swing states. And in a place like Michigan, every single vote counts. So that's why Kamala Harris spent yesterday here and staged one of her final rallies in that sports hall in Michigan State University last night. Now, unlike Trump, Kamala Harris tends to keep her speaking time briefer to around 20 minutes. And near the beginning of her address, she made those remarks about stopping the war in Gaza. Now, that was a very deliberate message for Michigan. This state is home to the US's largest Arab American population. And speaking to that community here in Michigan yesterday, many people there have relatives and friends who've died in Lebanon and Gaza. There's massive upset and anger in that community at the Democrats' handling of the conflict. And now Donald Trump has actually benefited from that and is attracting more Arab American voters in Michigan. So whether or not Kamala Harris's comments are enough to win back those voters or will be considered too little too late, that'll be something to look out for when people are parsing over the results. Now, something that really struck me is that Kamala Harris last night did not mention Donald Trump's name at all in her speech, not one single time. The message was purely about a positive vision for the future and finding common ground when it's in very short supply in the US at the moment. In the past couple of weeks, Harris's campaign did talk about the dark times ahead in a possible second Trump presidency and the threat to the very essence of the United States. But last night, that didn't feature. She talked about optimism and empowerment, and as you heard in that audio there, the crowd were really lapping it up. Now, obviously, rallies are going to attract the real true believers, but in a race this tight, both candidates really need their base to show up. So I think the aim of the rally last night seemed to be to send voters off to the polls with a hopeful message. And as you'll hear now from some people at the rally, it seems to have worked. I asked some of them how the rally had left them feeling.
Good. I felt great before it, but I feel even better now.
Well, we were just talking about that, right? About how the messages between the two campaigns are just so completely different. And she's talking about building community while he's talking about going after his enemies.
Yeah. I mean, what do you make of Trump at this stage?
Oh, I try not to think about him. Not good things.
Well, I just want to see our next president in person before it becomes, you know, her rallies in the future are going to be bigger. So I thought it was a chance to see.
You're convinced she's going to win at this stage?
Yeah, I think she's going to win.
How are you feeling now after coming out of that?
Really positive. Like, everybody's happy. People were dancing. Everybody's friendly. Yeah.
I feel really excited. I feel like she had a really captivating performance there, and everyone there was really getting into it. Yeah. One thing she said that really stuck out was how much she's ready to kind of turn it from a game of looking at the American people or part of the American people as her enemies, like Trump does, to looking at us all as neighbors, to lift us up as a community, yeah, instead of beat people down.
People in your age bracket, early 20s, are they getting out to vote? Are they motivated, do you think?
Oh, yeah. I went out with a large group of friends to go vote early last week.
I think it's important to be part of a huge change here, and so that we go down the right path. I think that she is a president for all people and not just some people.
And how would you describe the atmosphere when you were close?
Oh, very energetic. Very, very positive. Everyone was excited, and I think, you know, everybody's excited to have this done and in the right hands, and that for Harris Walz.
Hopeful, but still a little wary, still a little on edge. It's been really taxing. It's been really emotionally exhausting, and it's been really divisive across the country and, like, within different families and different groups that I'm in.
Would your parents be Trump supporters? Any of your older relatives?
Yeah, so my parents are, most of my other older relatives are. So it seems that the younger generation are kind of the outliers. It's really kind of separated by generation, yeah.
I'm feeling great after the rally. I got to do my job and vote on Tuesday. I'm 19.
People your age, this will be your first time voting. Are people your age motivated, do you think, to get out and vote?
I believe so, yes. That's why we all came up. I told my friends we all got to come support.
Amazing. I really liked seeing Kamala in person. She's so amazing. She, like, speaks so well. Like, she's really good with, like, the crowd, and, like, she never stutters or anything. It's very impressive. A safer, happier, like, more community-based society, if Kamala wins, I feel like that's what she'll provide for us.
So Una, clearly a strong call to her supporters to get out there and vote and organize other people to vote too.
Yeah, Claire, I think that rally was really all about instilling a sense of empowerment and urgency in her base. She keeps using this phrase over the past while, your vote is your voice and your voice is your power, and supporters tend to shout that along with her now. But at this stage, I suppose there's nothing really more she can say that hasn't already been said 100 times. It is clear that a core demographic Harris hopes to rely on to turn out and vote is women, and she thinks that the change in abortion rights in the US will motivate them. Now, it used to be a constitutional right that was guaranteed after the famous Roe versus Wade case. Trump then had the opportunity to appoint 3 conservative Supreme Court justices during his presidency, so the constitutional right to abortion was then taken away by a Supreme Court decision and handed to the states. That's resulted in some chaos when it comes to what abortion rights women have in areas across the country. Almost all southern states brought in some form of restriction. Now, Kamala Harris speaks very passionately and vigorously about reproductive rights. What Trump personally thinks is a bit less clear. He often has said different things, but he hasn't ruled out a nationwide abortion ban. So the message from the Harris campaign has been, if you want to have the right to choose what to do with your own body, you have to vote for Kamala Harris. Now, here where we are in Michigan, abortion is still recognized as a protected right. But as I talked to people at the rally last night, it's very clear that it's still an important factor in the presidential election here.
I think that our reproductive freedom is really important, and it's been taken away from us. As Vice President Harris said, our generation has less rights than our mothers and our grandmothers did at this point. And so I think it's really important to fight for those back.
After this election is over, what do you think the state of the country and society is going to be like?
I think no matter what, it's still going to be fairly divisive. I'm kind of worried about the aftermath, honestly, no matter what, no matter who wins.
So in order to make change, get our rights back, and actually have the freedom that our forefathers fought for, we need to make a change today. I thought we already fought that battle.
Women's freedom, taking away the rights of women that we fought for, like she said, years ago. There, I feel like if it went the other way, he hates women. Women's rights would be taken away even further than they already are. And we need to stand up as women and say, you know, we're strong. And Trump doesn't like strong women. And I think it's sad that women feel there are women that their husbands control what they say and what they do and how they vote and how they don't vote.
So I don't like how he's like trying to do a nationwide abortion ban. I think women should be able to choose if they want an abortion or not. So I think that's really important.
What particular issues are important to you? What do you feel is at stake here now?
Abortion for sure.
Do you think that young women are motivated to get out and vote?
Yes, especially because of the abortion rights at stake here.
What do you think is going to happen after the election?
Either ruin with Trump or we're going to be the best country in the world with Kamala.
That's voters in Michigan speaking there to our reporter Una Kelly. And Una will be reporting from a Donald Trump rally for us on tomorrow's show. And of course, there'll be more from her here on RT Radio 1 over the next few days. Well, I'm joined now by Terry Sheridan, News Director at WSHU Public Radio. Terry, thank you for being with us. So the election is very clearly on a knife edge. We had this poll at the weekend suggesting that Kamala Harris had overtaken Donald Trump in Iowa. And that's a state he has won since 2016. But really, ultimately, it's just too close to call at this stage, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely too close to call. Whether you're talking about the overall number, you know, the average of polls is 49% for Harris, 48% for Trump. In the so-called swing states, depending upon whose poll you're looking at, they're all within 1 or 2 points or under a point of each other. So right now, it is too close to call. Now, going back to that Iowa poll, though, that is a could be an important indicator because that was something very accurate, a very reasonable and responsible poll that has been right over the past 10 years in predicting what Iowa does. Does that necessarily mean that Kamala Harris is going to win Iowa? No. But the fact that she overtook him in that poll could be a bellwether about what's going to happen in other Midwestern states or other states that tend to be conservative.
All right. Well, we heard a lot there about Kamala Harris from our reporter Una Kelly. So let's turn to Donald Trump. He is campaigning in the biggest swing state in Pennsylvania. He was there yesterday and he described the Democratic Party as demonic. Let's have a little listen.
But this is a group of people, large group of people, larger than people think, but it's a very demonic party. It's become that way. The people aren't. The people, Democrats, regular Democrats aren't. Most of them agree with what I'm saying. But it's very, but we do need people to say it, and we have to have it. And if it's not said, and then they're going to fight over it, they're going to call you a horrible person and all of the things that they call you, conspiracy theorist. He's a conspiracy theorist. They don't tell you that they cheated.
Well, he went off script there, as he often does, Terry, at those rallies. But he said that he should never have left office. He appeared to suggest that he didn't mind if journalists were shot at, describing them, as he always does, as fake news. His tone has been pretty dark, though, would you agree? In contrast to Kamala Harris's speech yesterday, where she didn't mention his name once.
Absolutely. I mean, the tone has been dark. Now, that appearance in Pennsylvania yesterday, he also appeared to be tired and subdued. And if you were watching the whole rally, he almost was projecting that he was going to lose or that his internal polling was going to lose. But no, this has been a thing with Donald Trump all along. He has not presented a positive vision. It's always been a negative vision. It's always been the Democrats did this. I was great. I did this. But then the Democrats came in and they took it. And then going back to the thing that he never should have left, that is something that he said in 2020 after he lost the election in 2020. I'm just not going to leave. That's what's going to happen. So again, it's pointing back to him saying that the 2020 result was not legitimate. And that's something that Republicans want to move away from. They don't want to make this a referendum about 2020.
Well, this election could end up in the courts, though, ultimately, couldn't it? I mean, will you take us through the ways in which the result could be challenged?
The result could be challenged in multiple ways in multiple states. Each state has its own rules about how and when they certify the votes. So it could be, for instance, in New York, absentee ballots will not be counted until next week. They have different rules about whether the early voting that we just said, what they're going to be counted. Are they going to be counted at the start of the day tomorrow, or are they going to be counted at the end of the day? Court cases that Donald Trump could go after is one, if he has proof or says he has proof of any manipulation of voting devices. Two, if people he says are not eligible to vote are voting. And three, if there's some sort of voter intimidation at the polls. Those are all things that he or the Democrats, if they have that case, could go to the courts. They'll probably go to courts or try to go to courts that would be more friendly to their argument. And then depending upon what happens, if the court accepts it, it could be weeks while they decide it.
There's a lot at stake in the coming hours, Terry. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. Coming up next on the programme, we'll have an update on the health of a young Irish runner who remains in a critical condition in an Italian hospital after a road accident there.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.